You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
You ready for the Word?
Yes.
You know, it doesn't really matter what I think. All that matters is what God says. But there again, it doesn't matter what you think either. All that matters is what God says. You know, you may have an opinion about God. In fact, really, there's three kinds of people who have opinions. People who know a little bit about something have an opinion. People know a lot about something have an opinion. People don't know anything about something have an opinion. So that pretty well takes us all in, amen? But opinions are like elbows. Everybody's got a couple of them. We're not talking about that. It doesn't matter about our opinions or even concepts or ideas about God. What matters is what God says. Woo! Hallelujah. Boy, that's good preaching, preacher. So when we come to church, although, you know, we want to, of course, relate and communicate and we'll use stories and maybe sayings and so on. Sometimes we'll laugh and, you know, and it all comes down to, though, it's got to be based on God's Word. That's why we're close to the Word, close to the Scripture. That's why we base everything on God's Word. Even, see, your outlook, your concept of life even is formed by ideals that you hold almost as sacred. You know, like it's almost a sacred truth that gas prices control our outlook in the world. The economy determines our attitude, whether it's up, whether it's down. The stock market, whether it's doing good or whether it's doing bad. I mean, people are up when stocks are up. They're down when stocks are down if they're involved in the stock market, because to them, that's their future. Hello. And it may be something else with you. I don't know. It could be anything. But it needs to be God's Word. It needs to be God's promises. And the reason it needs to be that, because only God's Word is eternally true, concrete, solid, ever the same, never changing. Economies change. Gas prices change. Stocks change. Housing changes. God never changes. He said, I'm the Lord God, I change not.
Amen.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all the promises of God are yes and they are amen.
Amen.
And you need to see yourself based on what God says about you, not what the world says about you, not what you even think about yourself, or the economy of the day, or the weather of the day, or the time of the year, or whatever the case may be. You are who God says you are. You're not who everybody else says you are. You're not even who you think you are. You're who God says you are. What you say, well, I thought if I thought something wrong, it would probably take root in my life. Yes, it will. But you'll still be what God says you are. You just won't experience what God says you can experience. You never reach your full potential. You never be complete. Actually, what Jesus does, he completes us. He fulfills us. Nobody in hell is fulfilled. Nobody in hell is complete. Everyone in hell is incomplete, unfulfilled, untouched by God. They never reach their fulfillment. They never reach what they could be. They never became what God wanted them to be. And even you and I, as we serve God, until we give him our whole heart, until we fully commit, until we really throw in, until we find out what he says and start living according to his word, we never really reach our full potential. We're just struggling like everybody else, just trying to survive like everybody else. God doesn't want to survive you to survive. He wants you to have victory.
Amen. Yeah.
Woo! I know that's exciting. But he wants to take you to another level. He wants to use you. You are important. You count to God. And you're a part of his master plan. Genesis 1, turn there if you will. I want to talk tonight about being blessed. Everybody say blessed.
Blessed.
Now you need to get a hold of it. You are blessed. You may not be walking in it. You may not be experiencing it. But you are blessed.
Yeah.
And the more you understand that and walk in his promises, the more you will experience it in your life, in your marriage, in your finances, whatever the case may be. You won't be tied to the economy. You won't be tied to circumstances of life and so on and so forth. They come and they go. Tragedy comes and goes. How many know that? We live in a broken, fallen world. But God remains the same. You and I are blessed. Hallelujah. I like to say I'm blessed with heaven's best. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Too blessed to be depressed. Woo! Genesis 1. Notice what it says here in Genesis 1:26. This is a real familiar passage of Scripture. Most of you could probably quote this. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Everybody say them.
Yeah.
Now he's talking about mankind when he says, okay, I'm doing something wrong here. Shining, take that off. Okay. All right. How's that look? How's my hair look? Pretty good? Okay. 26 verse says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them, everybody say them.
Them,
that's all of mankind. That's not just a man. That's also women. That's everybody. Them, mankind, was inclusive of the human race. So it says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now, he didn't say we had dominion over each other. That wasn't included in that. What was included in that was all of creation. What God made when he made us, really, he really extended his kingdom. You know, God didn't make us for so he could rule over us. That's not what he made us for. He made us to extend his rule. I mean, think about it. It's all about, it's about ruling and reigning through Christ Jesus. It's about changing circumstances and situations as we pray and believe God and trust God. We hear of needs, we turn in prayer requests. Why? Because God wants to change that. He wants to change that. Sick people into healed people, lost people into saved people, depressed people into people full of peace. Hello. And so we are it. We are how he does that. He does that through us. We are his people. Amen. And so we don't rule over these people we're praying for. We rule over that thing that's trying to stop them and hurt them and, you know, steal and kill from them. Hallelujah. And prayer, of course, does that. In fact, Jesus, you know, God didn't make us to be more, he didn't need more servants. He didn't need, we do serve God, and I understand the analogy there. But actually, when you think about it, Jesus is our elder brother. He's our Lord, yes. And he's our ultimate king, yes. But he's not the king of servants. He's the king of kings. That went over real big. He's the king of kings and the Lord of lords. So he made all of us to extend his kingdom. In fact, that's what we're to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because we're the body of Christ, members in particular, the Bible says. And we don't see ourselves that way often. Often we mistakenly look at ourselves as just servants of God. But actually, we're children of God. We're the family of God. We're not God. I'm not saying that. He's God. We're not. But we are here as an extension of God, as ambassadors of Christ, representing heaven. Hallelujah. We represent heaven. We represent the reign of God. That's why things turn around when we begin to pray. That's why he told us to pray one for another, because he doesn't want whatever's going on down here to rule. He wants to rule through us. It's not about him ruling over us. He wants to rule through us. Of course, we're submitted to him. Of course, he is our king. We know that. But we are kings that he has sent to make a difference in our family, in our world, in our city. I mean, what did he talk about here? He says, let us make man so we can rule over them. Let us make man and let them have dominion. Y'all see that? Let us make man in our image and let them have dominion. Let us make man so we can rule over them. No, of course God's our Lord. Of course he's our ruler. We understand that. But if we just have the concept of just being slaves and servants, we've missed the whole point of what God made the earth for and made us for. And even the body of Christ, when Jesus rose from the dead, you know, Jesus told them to go out and lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, preach the gospel. Tell them the kingdom of God has come near. We're to extend the kingdom. We're to expand the kingdom. We got to think in terms of a kingdom and think in terms of authority. Not over each other. No, that's not what we're talking about. We submit to one another. But we're not supposed to let life overrule us or dominate us. We're supposed to make a difference in this life and dominate and rule life. Well, there's nothing you can do about what happens in your life. Well, yes, there is. There are a lot of things you can do about what happens in life. You can't control every circumstance, every event. I understand that. But when things go wrong, you're supposed to pray. I'm supposed to pray. Any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray ye one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5, 14, 15, and 16 tells us that. And so what we see in this thing called Christianity, what we see in this family that we're in, this kingdom that we're in, We're seeing ruling principles of ruling and reigning. See, instead of letting circumstances dictate your emotional state, your outlook on life, whether the economy's up or the economy's down, you need to take your place as a child of the living God, begin to stand on the Word, pray, and make a difference. Hallelujah. Now, if just a couple of y'all get it, it'd be worth it. 26th verse says, let's read it again. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. We've got dominion over the creeps. Woohoo! So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. This has always been God's will, is that you be blessed. You be blessed. Maybe you don't feel like it. Maybe you're not experiencing it, but it is the will of God. God wants you blessed. Hallelujah. God originally blessed man. For man messed up when he sinned. Really, it's when the curse came because of sin. It didn't come because of God's will. God didn't want it to happen. Actually, what Adam did was an act of treason, if you think about it, because he was here as a ruler. He was here as a king. And he disobeyed and gave over the kingdom to the devil by obeying the devil, not listening to God. He started taking orders from somebody else. Oh, go ahead, chew on that one. And that's why it was so traumatic. That's why this penalty was so great. He didn't just eat an apple. You know, we often think about that. He actually completely disobeyed God and obeyed someone else that had no right. He had no right to obey that person. He had authority actually over the devil. And he didn't exercise his authority. He was here to dominate. He was here to rule. He was here to have dominion. And he just laid all that down and abdicated his throne or his position, as it were. Often we do that ourselves. We abdicate our position. We quit. We give up. We don't take our authority. We don't pray when we ought to pray. We don't believe when we ought to believe. You know, we're not getting the right concept. We're not seeing this thing right. We're letting circumstances control us, dictate us, and our future, and our destiny, and our outlook. And you know what? We ought to realize there's a war going on. There's a battle going on. God has set us down here as kings and priests and to his God and to him. And we can exercise the authority that God has given us. We are blessed. Hallelujah. We're not cursed. So when a curse comes, we ought to repel it. We ought to stand against it with every fiber of our being. We ought to recognize that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus has come to give us life and that we might have it more abundantly. That's not God's kingdom. Depression is not God's kingdom. It's here. It's in the world. We understand that. But it's not eternal. One day it'll be completely wiped out. And you can do something about it right now. Sickness is not God's kingdom. It's not God's will. It's not what God wants. We know that better than we think we do. That's why we build hospitals. That's why we praise doctors and medical breakthroughs and scientific discoveries. And that's what we're for, helping people. Why? Because that's not right. Sickness is not God's will. He doesn't want people sick. Even people who don't believe in healing know that. Because we fight tooth and nail and spend every penny we've got to help people get well. We commend and honor and award people that have helped people get well and overcome diseases and come up with cures and all these things, medical breakthroughs. Something's not right. That's the terminology we even use when sickness comes. I'm not right. I don't feel right. You don't, because it's not right. You're not okay. Why? Because you're not okay. Get it? It's not okay. It's wrong. So let's do something bad. Let's get it right. Feeling better. I'm feeling right today. You know what that means. You're getting over the thing. The thing's not right. I'm here to tell you, if you're going through depression, it's not right. Are you with me? If you're going through a crisis, it's not right. Do they happen in this world? Sure they do. We're not in heaven. But you know what? We can take authority over that. We are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. I am blessed. You are not cursed. Don't buy the lie. Because something happened to you doesn't mean you're cursed. You just need to stand up and pray and believe God and stand on the word. Get us to pray. We'll believe with you. But you need to understand this and get this down in the core, the fiber of your being. You are blessed. You are destined to be blessed. Ultimately, we definitely will experience that in heaven. But I believe we can get bits and pieces of it here. Amen? In fact, I won't belabor this. You can go through the scripture. In fact, I've done this before, preached on this one time before a while back. It's amazing if you'll go through the scripture and look at Adam, look at Noah, look at Abraham, look at Isaac, look at Jacob, look at Joseph, just in Genesis alone. It is amazing how many times God talks about he blesses them. I bless you. And God blessed Abraham, and God blessed Noah, and God blessed Isaac, and God blessed Jacob, and God blessed Joseph. God's just always blessing somebody. God is a blesser. That's what he does. Amen? That's what his will is. That's what his will is for you, is to be blessed. In fact, look at the 12th chapter. We will turn to that. Genesis 12. And see, we need to extend this kingdom. We need to rule and reign in Christ, through Christ. What are we ruling and reigning over? Well, it's not each other. He didn't mention that. But, you know, we do rule and reign over circumstances, situations. If not that, then what? I mean, the question would be, if we don't rule over that, what do we rule over? If you go through the scripture, even go through the New Testament, what you saw men and women of God going through the scripture, Acts, and of course, you know, Acts is the Acts not of the apostles, but of the New Testament church. I mean, there's many people in the book of Acts that did miracle signs and wonders that were not apostles. And you follow Jesus and the 12 apostles that did follow him, and the 70 that he appointed later in Luke the 10th chapter, and you watch what they did. What did they rule and reign over? What did they exercise authority over? Wasn't people. They didn't go take over cities and take, you know what I'm saying, taking over nations and so on and so forth, governments and so on. They infiltrated them. They put people in those positions. Sure, you see that, and we have that going on today as Christians. I think we ought to be involved in everything. But we're about ruling and reigning over this earth. You see them healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead. Woo! So when we talk about dominion and we talk about a kingdom, we talk about us being kings and priests to our God and talk about we have dominion and we have authority. What is that authority over? It's got to be over the things of this earth because that originally is what God made man for. Now granted, it's messed up. It's broke. And if you hadn't figured that out, you don't get out much. But you can look around and tell something's wrong here. Something's broke here in this world. Well, it got broke. I'm using great English here. It got broke when Adam sinned. And to use even better English, it ain't been right since. Hello? But little by little, you have seen things being fixed from time to time in this group and this person and that person. There's been some glory shining through, even in a broken, fallen world. You've seen some God's will come to pass. You've seen some things that God really wanted. A little bit of heaven, a little touch of heaven here. I believe we ought to raise the bar. Amen. We're not going to fix the whole world. I understand that. I believe, you know, I know there's a lot of people involved in the world, and you can't fix everybody. But you can sure start where you live. You can start in your world. I realize Jesus is coming back. You're not going to live forever. You're going to go to heaven. I understand that. But then one day there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and that earth is not going to be messed up, broke. And it's going to be ideal. It's just going to be perfect the way God wanted it to be originally. We're supposed to be lifting up the veil a little bit here, letting people get a peek, a glimpse from time to time. Showing them what it could be, what it should be, what it will be. Are you with me? There's a battle going on. I understand that. It'll be going on till Jesus comes back. But I'll tell you, we can win some of these battles. And we are destined to win. We are blessed.
Amen. That's right.
We are blessed in the midst of an economy that's down. We can prosper.
That's right.
Because my God supplies my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He doesn't supply our needs according to the economy.
Amen.
Or the price of oil, or the price of gas, or the price of a house. Hello? All right. Genesis 12, found it? I want to shake you. I want to stir you. I want to spiritually slap you. Wake up. Amen? We got to wake up. Because I think the danger in the world is the the danger of falling asleep about these truths, about just kind of falling asleep at our post as Christians, as believers, thinking that there's nothing we can do about it. We're just like everybody else. Well, no, we're not like everybody else. We're born again. We're saved. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. You used to be lost. Now you're saved. You used to be outside the family of God. Now you're in the family of God. You used to be in another kingdom, but you have now been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Hallelujah. And so we got another king. We're in another kingdom. We got another set of rules we live by. Hallelujah. And we got a provider that provides for us. Woo! The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Amen. Genesis 12, found it? Now the Lord had said, 12 verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abram, this is when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. That was present day Iraq, incidentally, between the Tigris and the Euphrates River. He called him out of that same region area into Canaan land. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Well, you know, he had to get him to thinking about himself totally different. I think that's unique. I don't have time to get into all that, but he identified himself with his family and with what they were. According to Joshua, the 14th chapter, we know his father worshipped other gods. It says that. It says he worshipped other gods across the river in Ur. And God called Abraham out of that. Out of that thinking. Now, God forbid that your family's all messed up, but at some point you've got to relate to God, not your family, if they are messed up. Thank God for them, pray for them, lift them up. But you're not that. You're more than that. You're a child of the living God. You may have been raised in a home that didn't worship God. You may have been raised in a home of alcoholics and drunks and drug addicts. I mean, that could be the case. We're not here to slam anybody. We're not here to blame anybody. But we are here to take responsibility for our future. To take responsibility of your future is not to say you're at fault. Not at all. It's just to say we could do something. We can make a change. We're not interested in who's at fault. That's not the deal. We're not interested in blaming anybody. That's not the deal. But at some point, you've got to come out of that. Are you hearing me? You got to come out of that. You got to come out of that thinking. You got to come out of that concept, that view of yourself and the world and so on, and come into the land that God has for you. Woohoo! That's better preaching. Y'all are amen. You've got to start seeing yourself a little differently than you have been, if that's the case. You can't come out of a problem with the same level of thinking that you went into the problem with. Ooh, that's deep. You got to write that down. Somebody write that down. Okay. The same level of thinking that created the problem is going to have to be changed if you're going to come out of the problem. See? And so a lot of our problems is just the way we see ourselves. We don't see ourselves right. Now, I'm not talking about just seeing yourself better. I'm not talking about just raising your self-esteem. I'm talking about seeing yourself the way God sees you. This has a basis other than just being better and being gooder and I'm going to be greater and I count, I'm important, I'm somebody. Well, you are all that, but see, that's you are that in Christ. And there are promises to base that on, not just pie in the sky. God really does want you to be better, and he really has done something in your life. And you've got to come out of that mess and come into the land he's got for you. That whole identity problem that we're having, see? Maybe you, not me. You know, I've heard people say that. Well, maybe you, Pastor, not me. Well, you don't know. You don't know where I came from. You don't know what I came out of. You know, you may not know. I was kicked out of high school. Had a peace bond, like a restraining order put on me where I couldn't drive on the parking lot of the high school because I was such a great guy. Hello? Didn't know that, did you? That was all before I accepted Jesus. Didn't know I'd been in jails. Done drugs and all those things. Things I'm ashamed of. Don't even talk about. But I met Jesus. Hallelujah. I met Jesus, and he changed my life. I came out of that, see, into the land that he wanted for me. And he made all the difference in me. If he did it for me, he'd do it for you. You said, well, yeah, but I don't have the training you have. I just got through telling you I got kicked out of high school. Education? Well, of course, I've studied, and I've voraciously read the Bible, and you know, and I read a lot and I study a lot, but I've had no college training. I don't even have a high school diploma. I'm not saying quit school. Hello. I'm just telling you, God can use you no matter what your background. That's what I'm saying. If I had to do all over again, I definitely would go to school. I definitely would have finished it. I definitely would have done a lot of things different. But I don't. I can't change the past. I'm going forward here. I'm not backing into my future. I'm going ahead, looking straight ahead. Amen. Yeah. Believing and trusting God. And you can too. Woo! Amen. You've been made a king, a priest, and you're God. You need to stand up. Speak up. Be counted. Make a difference. Make a change. You need to cheer up. You're blessed. Amen. Okay. Second verse says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. He said, well, yeah, that's Abraham. Well, no, let's read on. And make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Everybody is blessed in Abraham. If we claim that, if we identify with that. He said, well, that was Abraham. Well, no, I'm blessed in Abraham. All the families of the earth are blessed in Abraham. Through Abraham came Jesus. Turn to Galatians. Galatians 3. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got this happening, that happening. I just seem like I can't get it right. No, you're blessed. Amen. You're blessed. Don't you buy the lie. Cheer up. Stir yourself. Shake yourself. Yeah, well, I got this happening. People are doing this. Well, you know, Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Did you know that? No, that's in the Bible. That's Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against you will prosper, but every tongue that rises up against you in judgment you shall condemn, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. I don't know about you, but I believe that. You might say, well, Pastor, are you saying? Well, now first let's get this straight. I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. I'm telling you what the Bible said. I'm telling you what's written in the Word. You've got to make your choice whether you believe or not. Getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. I'm just quoting Scripture. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We're just quoting the Word here. Amen? Your Bible says that, doesn't it? In fact, go look that verse up. That's why I like to tag verses when I quote them, so you can go look them up. I tag them by giving you the reference, you know. Woo. Where did I tell you to turn to? Galatians? Good book. Galatians 3rd chapter. Galatians 3, of course, Paul's making a tremendous case in this book about us, you know, being the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus, through what Jesus did, through the promise. In fact, he says over here in the... It's hard to know where to start here. Let's start the 9th verse. So, then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. What did we just read now over the 12th chapter? In Abraham, all nations would be blessed. He said, I will bless thee, I'll make a great nation of thee, and you'll be a blessing. I like that. We're not just blessed, we're also a blessing. I'm blessed to be a blessing, really, if you want to know the truth. What's this all about? It's about making a difference, about making a change. God wants to use me because, you know, I'm part of this kingdom. I'm one of those kings and priests, so are you. We're here to extend the kingdom. We're here to dominate the earth, as it were. To take over some of this junk that's going on. I can't change everybody and everything, but I can make a difference where I am, in my neighborhood, in my town. I can pray for people. Can't pray for everybody, but I can pray for some people. I can extend His kingdom. I can extend His rule. I'm not here just to be ruled over by God. I'm here for God to rule through. I'm not God. Not saying that. But I'm here for Him to use. Are y'all catching the distinction? It's not sacrilegious. And you could twist it and make it sound pretty bad, but you understand why I'm saying this. There is a God, and you're not Him. Okay. But you have a purpose. Every one of us has a purpose, and it is to extend the kingdom, to pray for His kingdom to be done, His will be done. His kingdom to come, His will be done. And every time you pray, and every time you make a difference in that respect, you extend the kingdom. You expand His rule. You know, everybody you lead to the Lord, you just expanded the rule, the kingdom of God. Everybody, you prayed for a God healed every situation you prayed for that changed, and God's will came to pass. You just expanded. You took a little more ground. You set His flag up right there for the kingdom. Isn't that good?
That's good.
I'm doing it for the kingdom. I'm doing it for the glory of God. That's what we're doing. That's exactly what we're here to do. And we're the kings and the priests of God to do that. And we are blessed. Hallelujah. And we're blessed with faithful Abraham. In fact, it says here, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham or faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, curses everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you read this chapter, he's talking about people that think they're okay because they're so good. No, you're not okay because you're so good. You're okay because Jesus is so good. You're not going to heaven because you're so good. You're going to heaven because He's so good. And you trust Him and you believe Him. And as you trust and believe God, you're blessed. In fact, the reason you're not blessed in many cases is because you're not trusting, you're not believing God. You're worried, you're staying awake all night, you think you hadn't prayed about it, you hadn't believed God, you hadn't trusted God, you're trying to work your way through that thing, and you need to believe God for it. Amen? Then he goes on and makes the case, no one's justified by the law on the side of God, the 11th verse, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. In other words, if we're going to go that route, then quit believing, quit praying, quit standing on the word, and just be as good as you can be. No one can be that good. That's the point he's making. 13th verse, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Everybody say redeemed? What have I been redeemed from? The curse of the law. Well, I guess I'm just cursed. No, you're not cursed. You're blessed. You've been redeemed from the curse. That's what Jesus came to do, is redeem us. Really, what Jesus came to do is set us back in authority again, to put us back in our position of dominion and dominating and being kings and priests again. He washed us in His own blood, saved us and redeemed us and restored to us our authority. Now, in the name of Jesus, we go out in His name. Praise God, we've got authority back. We were dispossessed kings, and now we've got our position back again in Christ. Now we can make a difference again. Now we're not to be dominated by the world, by sin, by temptation, by all the things that happen, tragedy and crisis and so on that takes place. Now we can make a difference. Hallelujah. Woo! Why? Because we're blessed. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He took our place. He took our curse. He took all that junk you're going through. He took all that pain you're trying to carry. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You'll find rest to your very souls. Cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Well, you're trying to carry all that. He's got wide shoulders. Throw it over on Him. He took it. Y'all with me? He, it says, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You know, why did Jesus, why? I mean, you know, you think, and I think most people will think this, that are Christians that really, really believe in Jesus, but no, hadn't been taught, you know, and we just think, well, Jesus came and died for our sins, so we'd go to heaven. And He did do that. I mean, there's no question He did that. But if you look at the detail of what took place there, and even this scripture here, He did all He did so that the blessing would come back on us again, because we've been under a curse. And then, of course, in a broader respect, He gave us back our authority that we lost when Adam sinned. You know, you can pray now in Jesus' name, and God listens, and He'll actually move on your behalf. I mean, Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door will be opened to you. He said, in that day, talking about the resurrection, you'll ask me nothing. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll do it. Wow. Now, that's just almost too much to swallow. I mean, and really, we hadn't swallowed it. We'd been nibbling on it for a while. And some of us had gotten a pretty good bite of it, but I don't think any of us really swallowed the whole thing. From time to time, we use that, but we're not really living in the fullness of it. Hello. I believe we get better at it, but I believe we're living far below our privileges as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ. Far below our rights. Hello. I believe when we get to heaven, God's not going to tell us when we get to heaven, and he looks at our life and our prayer and our service to him and our worship. He's not going to look at us and say, you know, there were several times you prayed and I was thinking, how in the world am I going to do that? Or you know, I remember one time you prayed and you asked me to do something. I thought for a minute there, I thought, well, who do they think I am, God? I don't believe God's ever shocked by our faith. He's always shocked by our lack thereof. And the things that we worry and fret over sometimes really are so small to God in comparison to the things that he's done, the promises he made. We get all excited about some miracle that took place, and rightly so. We ought to praise God and we ought to be excited. But I really believe we're living far below what God could really do. We really got a hold of this thing. We're blessed.
That's right.
We are blessed. Nothing out here blesses us. We're blessed. He did what he did, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. So we can get that blessing back on us again. Let me share one more scripture. Can I share one more scripture and then quit? No, I can't, but I'll try. Proverbs 10. Man, I didn't get near as many of these scriptures as I want to get to. Proverbs 10, notice this, and we've quoted this often, I think, over the last few weeks, just quoted it and said, commented on it, but in Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. In other words, sorrow doesn't come from God. God doesn't add that to it. Well, but God may give you some riches, but you're going to get some pain with it. You often hear these somehow seemingly wise, pious sayings. Actually, they're not scriptural. They're not biblical at all. When God gives a blessing, he doesn't add sorrow to it. Are you getting me? Okay. But it says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. Now, am I blessed? Are you blessed? Are we blessed? I think we established that. In fact, we didn't go through near the scriptures I want to get to, and you ought to study that out. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Psalms 1 and 12. Riches shall be in his house. Blessed, blessed, blessed. All through the scripture, blessed is the man who trusts in God. Psalms 34 tells us that. So we're blessed. That's established. That's a fact. But the blessing of the Lord makes rich. You say, well, if the economy would change, I'd be rich. No, it has nothing to do with the economy. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. Well, if this housing thing would turn around, I'd be okay. No. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. Yeah, but the stock market's just going crazy. It went up a little bit this week. I'm a little happy about that, but it's got a long ways to go because it's got a lot of stock out there. And I tell you, if that doesn't happen, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, no. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. I'm blessed by God. And I heard this at the conference I was at in Michigan. I've said it before, repeat it again. When Abraham and Lot parted their ways, and Abraham told Lot, he said, you take any land you want to. Lot picked the best land. Sodom and Gomorrah at that time, before all the sin and degradation came in, that was the most watered plains, the beautiful place. He said, I'll take that. Now you might think, you know, here's Abraham. I thought Abraham's blessed, and he lost the best land. Let me tell you something. That's so good. Abraham wasn't blessed because of that land. That land was blessed because of Abraham. So your circumstance, your situation don't determine your blessing. The blessing on you will change your situation and circumstance. The blessing on you will cause blessing on your job. The blessing on you will cause blessing where you live. The blessing on you... Listen, people are blessed because you're there.
Amen.
Because you're blessed. I am blessed. It's the will of God. It's His will. We need to turn this thing around. Amen.